My dearly beloved friends in Christ, may I speak with you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one. I'm going to try that again. May I speak with you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is one.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The power of love contrasted with the love of what? The love of what? Say it out loud, Rudy. Love of power. The power of love contrasted with the love of power. I want to share with you a couple of stories today. And the first is with regards to one of our sisters who was killed in Brazil. Her name was Sister Dorothy Stang. Have you heard of Sister Dorothy? So Sister Dorothy, she was born American, but in large part she lived among the Pana people in Brazil for many years and in a way became much like them. So she's referred often as an American Brazilian nun. And she was killed on February 12th of 2005 by men who were in the employ of a wealthy landowner. The thing about Sister Dorothy is that she had been there for at least 14 years speaking up for the poor people. The poor people who were often being exploited, marginalized, driven off their land by wealthy landowners. I think you must be familiar with the situation in the Amazon. And she was one of those voices of love who was giving voice to those who were voiceless. And on the day that she was killed, and of course she was put on a death list and she knew this, and on the day she was killed, she was accosted on her journey through the forest. And she knew that she was going to be killed, and she opened her Bible. And she read from the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." And they shot her. And yet, there is a mysterious truth, which is that love cannot be shot. Love can't be killed. That love goes on even though the forces of evil and the powers of darkness may think they have. She's buried among the people. And her grave is a place of pilgrimage. And slowly but surely, the voices of that people are being heard. And not only the voices of the people, but indeed the voices of all creation. And increasingly, not just in Brazil, but around the world, we are beginning to understand just how important the Amazon is, not only for the Pano people, but for all creation. The second person I want to bring to your attention might be more familiar to some of us. Her name is, she's another sister. She's Sister Rosemary Nairumbi. Did I pronounce that correctly, my East African friends? Sister Rosemary Nairumbi. Have you heard of her? You've heard of her. Sister Rosemary, for at least 20 years, has been rescuing children, in particular young girls who have been kidnapped by the Lord's Resistance Army. and forced to become sexual slaves and have suffered great inhumanity. And she has been rescuing these girls and has been breathing new life into them, educating them, giving them practical skills so that they could go out into the world. But she's giving them something more. There's a story that a man whose so-called wife had been rescued came to her camp with a gun. Yeah. You know, in essence saying, give me back. And Sister Rosemary just kind of stared him down. Stood there in the power of love. And stared evil in its face. And would not budge. If you Google her name, you'll find many interviews with her and about the work that she has done. And I give to you these two examples as part of a long line of holy people who have participated in this important work that God has been doing and is doing and will continue to do until love wins out in the world. A passage from Deuteronomy is, you might say, a moment of leadership transition. I've got so many things bookmarked here for you today, we won't get through all of them. But to hear this from a particular perspective, from a couple of perspectives. The first is that this work of healing the world, my Jewish siblings will say tikkun olam, of healing the world, renewing it, participating with God in what God is doing. And that's very different from kind of hoping that being a Christian is a get out of hell free card. God is healing the world, this world, the here and now, the real world. God is working in the midst and through it. And that we are invited to share in this ministry of love, but to know that not even Moses, not even Doug, it doesn't depend on Moses, and it doesn't depend upon Doug only. That Doug will do his part, but that when his 128 or 38 years have come to an end, there will be a Joshua who will carry on. See what I'm saying? And that Moses is not to be concerned that his life is coming to an end, and oh Lord, we're still in the wilderness. We're still in a time when wars plague the earth, when those who misunderstand the power of love turn it into the love of power and think that they can bring peace by war. Stevie Wonder in his song says, I'm going to Saturn, because they've misunderstood this. They think that the way to peace is war. But the way to peace is what? Say it loud for me. The way to peace is
love.
The way to peace is love. And we who are God's consecrated people, we who are God's holy people, and this is not an exclusive statement. This is not saying that for all who work in the ministry of love, all, regardless of whether they come to church or not, regardless of whether they profess a belief in God or not, for all who work in the ministries of love, all
are God's holy people. They'll throw me out of the church for saying things like that, but there you go. All are God's holy people. And that we are called to do the work that God has given us, and to do it with love, to do it whether it is easy or whether it is hard, to stand up and to speak up for truth and justice, to give voice to the voiceless, and never stop, even when it gets hard. These are the examples that Sister Dorothy and Sister Rosemary give to us. But I want to come at Moses, at this passage from Moses, from a different perspective. To be lifted up, to go up from where we are.
Our passage from St. Matthew's Gospel, and I think you know that of all of the Gospels, it is fair to say that Matthew is the most Jewish of the Gospels. Would you agree with me? Matthew sets the Gospel of Jesus Christ firmly in the tradition of the people of Israel. The beginning of the gospel is a genealogy which connects him to be a descendant of David. And so it begins pointing the way to this question that the Lord then puts to the gathered group after his first teaching, which is to say, now, how does David say of the Messiah, the Lord said to my Lord? This is a continuation of that. That Matthew clearly identifies Jesus as being the fulfillment of the Israelite story, of what God has been doing from Moses, through Joshua, through Deborah, through Samuel, through Samson, through Samuel, through David, through Solomon, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, all the way through, from one generation to another. That it's a continuous story of what God is doing to bring healing to the world through God's mission of love. And what the Lord Jesus says to them is they put this question to him. Well, you know, our passage begins when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees. The Sadducees had come to him with this question around divorce and the resurrection. And so he silenced them, and so they come back to him, and one who is a lawyer says, well, so now let's stand in Torah, Rabbi, right? Let's stand in the Torah, and let's ask the question of all that the Torah teaches, what's the most important? And Jesus quotes, the first part is from Deuteronomy. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second part is from Leviticus. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right, so at this point in time, there's no light between. This is a conversation within Judaism. And these rabbis and others learned in the law, one here was a lawyer, they're having a conversation about how do we understand this entire body of work. And they said, you know, you're right. Other contemporaries, Hillel, for example, who lived around 600, there's a story of Hillel saying, this is another Jewish teacher, paraphrasing Leviticus 19:18, he says, whatever is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That is all the Torah. The rest is commentary. Whatever is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. That's the whole teaching. That's the whole teaching. And so I raise this with you because I want to show that Jesus is not bringing anything revolutionary. In many ways, Christianity has kind of tried to say, you know, that Christianity is the gospel of love, and they say other less than complimentary things about our Jewish siblings and the Hebrew Bible. But I really want us to understand that at this point in time,
Jesus is standing as a Jew in the midst of other Jews, having a deep conversation about the foundation of it all. And the foundation of it all, the whole Torah is about what?
Love.
Love. Love. Love. And every generation has seen faithful people embody that. Sister Dorothy, Sister Rosemary, Brother Doug. I was hoping for an amen. Sister Geraldine, Brother Alan. Amen. And everyone gathered here are called to embody love, to go out into the world living this life, being love in the world, bringing that power in the midst of darkness, and saying to the whole world that it is the power of love that has brought life into being. It is the power of love that sustains life. It is the power of love that has redeemed life. And it's the power of love that will heal all of life. And those who simply love power, bye-bye, baby. Time's up. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is one. Amen.